Psalm 142. Our heart's desire, Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I preached to you last Sunday just briefly on this thought that it's a matter of the heart, and the heart's what matters. If our heart is right with God, and if we're loving Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, it will affect our actions. Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. He loved us. He got in our heart the love of God. Bible said the Holy Ghost of God shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our reaction to that love is love. And so our reaction to the needs of people is because of our heart. What kind of heart have we got? This world's trying to gain everything away from you. I was reading Brad Staubach's devotion. I had a chance to do a lot of reading this week, but I was reading in Spurgeon's devotional book just yesterday, and he was talking about the prayer or the testimony where Paul said, I know how to abound. And he said, and I never thought about it. He said, one of the greatest temptations to be unfaithful to God is when you are abounding. I know people that when they are in trouble financially, when their business is not going well, or work's not going well, or they're having family problem, they'll get in church, they'll seek God, they'll pray. But then when God blesses them and they're abounding, their income is up, they've got money to go to the lake, got money to go here, go there, go everywhere, do other things, and buy other things, that's one of the most dangerous things for some people because they don't know how to live with the blessings of God. In fact, God told Moses, said, you tell them now when they go into the promised land that they'll have to be careful because when they go into that land flowing with milk and honey and they have great fatness, can you testify? Say amen. And he said, when they get fat, you know what they're going to say? They can say, look what we have gotten. Look what we did. And they forget where it came from. And so it's important you do that. But here's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes our blessings are a burden to us because our blessings keep us from loving God and loving others like we ought to. It takes away our emphasis from reaching lost people. I want to read to you in this wonderful Psalm, Psalm 142, the testimony of David. And that was a great psalm that Brad read a while ago. Look at with me at verse number one. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Isn't that a kind of a saddening thought? Isn't that something that just shocks you? No man cared for my soul. I want to ask you to bow your head. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the singing this morning. God, thank you that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you for touching Miss Julia and blessing our heart. Thank you for the choir. Lord, I'm glad that God, every burden can be lifted. Every chain can be broken. You are a chain breaker. And our Father, there are people in this building and in the media audience this morning who abound. Many are bound by sin. They've never known Christ as Savior. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would deal with them. Our Father, I pray, God, that you speak to the heart of every believer. Our Father, sometime we're burdened, not with problems, but even with blessing. God, you've been so good to us. You've given us so many things that, our Father, we get at ease in Zion. We get to the place where we've lost our zeal or our burden. We're so busy with things and so busy with work that we forgot that there are people around us dying and going to hell. I pray, God, that during these days, that God, you would awaken in us, our Father, a fresh zeal to win souls for Christ. I pray, God, you give us a burden to be a witness for Jesus. God, I ask now for the touch of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray you'd remove far from me anything that would hinder our Father, the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you'd purge my mind, forgive me, cleanse me in every area. And God, I ask that you'd speak through the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God to people who are here this morning. Our Father, nothing of eternal consequence take place except for the work of God. And I pray, God, you'd have your way, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Tim and I had a few minutes to speak there back there a while ago. As I was praying this week about this message and that statement, David said, no man cared for my soul. When I was pastoring down in Valdosta, where Tim was a member and where God saved him and called him into the ministry there. But while we were there, I had one of our men to come in who worked with EMS one morning in the morning service. Then he said, Brother Billy, we got a call early right over here to the motel out here near Interstate 75. And he said it was a great tragedy. I said, what was it? He said, there's a lady in there, and she'd put a gun under her chin and pull the trigger. He said, I've never walked in on anything like that. And I said, that's horrible. I said, I wonder what caused people to do that. He said, I don't know, but they did say on that little pad right beside the bed, you know, where they leave you a pen and a pad, she wrote these words, nobody cares. Nobody cares. She got to the place in life when she felt like nobody cared. Do you care? I mean, is there anybody around you anywhere at work or at school and you care about them? And the other thing is, do they know you care? David here is in a cave. He's fleeing from King Saul. He is already aware of the fact that one day he is supposed to be the king. But now he's in this situation where he has he's lost everything, disconnected from his family and everything else. And he's in a place of loneliness and despair. And he cries this prayer, his complaint. He complains before the Lord, he said. And he said, they're trying to entrap me in every way. And he said, I looked and there wasn't anybody on my right hand, nobody to stand with me, nobody to help, and no man cared for my soul. That's an awful place to be. But it's an even greater place to be if you're lost. If men and women, boys and girls do not know Christ as Savior, one day they'll die and they'll be in hell for all eternity. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, said one time, he said, if I could have all of those who are training for the ministry to spend 1 minute in hell, it'd be worth all the seminary training they'll ever receive. If you could ever go to hell and see what people have to go through and what it'll mean to be lost for men and women, boys and girls who die lost without Christ. You see, the Bible said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoso believes them should not perish. And people who are lost are perishing people. And the Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. They're perishing, and one day they'll be eternally separated from God, and they're condemned already because they hadn't believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Ephesians that you hath He quickened who was dead in trespasses and sin. A lost man is dead spiritually. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. Men that are lost don't understand the things of God. Boys and girls and teenagers don't understand the things of God. And you say, well, why do people do what they do? They don't understand. They don't understand the gospel. They've never been redeemed. They are lost people. And he said this to the Pharisees one day, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. They have an old nature that controls them. They have a great satanic influence in their life that controls them. And they need a deliverance. They need chains broken. Now, how in the world is that going to happen? I read it to you on Wednesday night if you were here. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm not talking about this preacher, although I'm included. I'm talking about us. Somebody who will go and tell them the truth, proclaim the truth to them. How will they know there's a way out unless we tell them? Do you care? I want to suggest to you two or three things just real quick this morning. Number one, God the Father cares. God the Father cares. I mean, the creator of this world who fashioned man in it, He cares. He cares about lost souls. He cares about whether or not you go to heaven or hell. The Bible said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How much does He love you? I can tell you how much He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Another passage of Scripture says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. Jesus died for us. You think about that precious baby that you brought home from the hospital, that little son, and you think about the fact that he gave his son. When I was pastoring over here in Micro, that's when Charles was born, right over here in Johnson County, got in Smithfield. And the night Charles was born, I was just so thrilled, so excited. And in those days, they wouldn't let husbands stay in the hospital or get near the delivery room either. But I got to see him before I had to leave and go back home about 5 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't go to sleep. I laid there. I was so excited. And I got just laying in my bed just thanking God, I've got a son. Our oldest daughter, Christy, had already passed away and was in heaven. God had blessed us with Melissa. And now we had a beautiful daughter and a beautiful son. I was so thrilled. And I was laying there and I said, God, thank you for giving me a son. Thank you for giving me my boy. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart. He said, that's not the first son I ever gave you. I gave you my son. And for the first time in my life right then, Brother J.C., I had some glimpse of what it meant for him who was daily his father's delight to clothe them in a human body and allow him to be smitten, to be spit upon, have his beard pulled from his face, to be beaten with a rod, to put a crown of thorns on his brow, to nail him to a cross, and then to put all the weight of all the sin of all the world on him, and then to turn his back on him and allow him to become a sacrifice for our sin. God gave his son. That's how much he loves you. That's how valuable you are to him. He loves you so much, he gave his own son for you. He loves souls so much, he died for them. You look at people that are not saved, look across this nation and what's going on, and look across this world. Did you know that Jesus loved them just like he loved you? Jesus gave his son for them just like he gave for you, but they don't understand that. They don't know that. But God the Father loves them. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He wants you to be saved. God the Father loves you so much, he gave his own son for you. And again, I want to emphasize this verse, and two or three verses just been in my mind for the last several years. I read it in John 17 where Jesus is praying that great high priestly prayer, and he says, his Father, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I'm going to tell you how much God loves you. He loves you like he loves his own son, Jesus, and to let Jesus die for you. For all those who don't know Christ, I want you to know that God the Father loves you. Yeah. But let me say this, not only does God the Father love you, but Jesus Christ loves you. There's no greater picture in my Bible, in the Bible that I know of that shows the heart of Christ. The Bible, four different times I read to you last week, was moved with compassion. But there's an occasion when Jesus wept. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, but the second occasion that he wept, he was on top of a mountain overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible said Jesus looked down over that city and he wept. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how often would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me that you might be saved. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, how often he would have accepted them. You say, Brother Billy, he won't save me. Oh, my friend, there's been times in the past, or any time in your life, if the Holy Ghost of God dealt with you, you're going to turn to him. He would have saved you, and he'll do it now. Jesus loves you so much, he died for you. Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life a ransom for you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He has you in his heart. He bore all of your sins in his own body, and he died on the tree for you. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary for you. I love that old song, gospel song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knows all about you, and he loves you just like you are. Billy Graham used that song for his invitation for all of his ministry. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much, the Lamb of God, that he came and gave his life for you. Jesus loves sinners. Jesus loves lost people. Every color, every nationality, every background, young and old, educated and uneducated, good moral people, wicked people. He loves them all, and He died for all of them. Not only does God the Father and God the Son love souls, He cares, but the Holy Ghost cares. I was studying once again this week where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, and when He's come, He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, if you look at that, you may have the response I've had in days gone by, that He's going to come and He's going to give them what for. He's going to come and He's going to say, look here, He's going to dress them down. He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll point out their sin. He pronounced judgment, all those things. And that's all part of it. But there's a reason for it. Holy Spirit of God wouldn't send the world just to tell men they were sinners, to convict them of sin. He came to point them to sin so He could point them to the Savior. He came to point them to judgment and remind them that the wages of sin is death. The judgment on sin is death. But Jesus already paid that debt. The Holy Ghost of God make it real to you today. I pray He would. That God, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore your sin in His own body. And the Holy Spirit of God would tell you that He died for you. He died your death. He paid your sin debt. The Holy Spirit of God came to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Righteousness that you don't have any righteousness, but He does. And that you could be made the righteousness of Christ in Him. What a blessed thought. To know that all of my sin would be rolled on Him and all of Christ's righteousness rolled onto my account. And I stand before Him today justified, just as if I've never sinned. The Holy Spirit of God loves you. How many times have you quenched Him? How many times have you grieved Him? How many times have you been in a service where the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart and you said no, and yet He's dealt with you over and over again? The Spirit of God reminded you while you're driving home at night, late at night, He reminded you, you need Christ. He hadn't given up on you. He's been there dealing with you, speaking to you. My dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you now in the radio audience, the media audience, and in this building. Maybe He's saying to you, Jesus died for you. It's your name. Write your name in the blank. Jesus died for you. He paid your sin debt. He's already been judged. Your sin's been judged in the person of Christ. And all of your righteousness is filthy rags, but if you'll trust Christ, He'll give you all of His righteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit of God's here to do. He's here to make that real to me and real to you. Thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God He dealt with you. Thank God for old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Not just praying a prayer, not just repeating words, but the God in heaven, the Holy Ghost of God that breathed, that brooded over this earth and formed everything that you see. That same Holy Ghost of God came to where you were one day and He dealt with you and He showed you your sin and showed you that Christ has taken the judgment for you and showed you your righteousness was no good, but His righteousness was everything. And He dealt with your heart. And then the Bible said, you're saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. How does He impart that gift of faith to you? Through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. God gave me faith enough to believe. And then when I responded in faith, you know what happened? The Bible said the Holy Ghost of God came into my heart crying, Abba, Father. I'm telling you, I got born again. God made a difference in my life. God saved me. The Bible said Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners. I will listen. I'm glad He came to seek me, and I'm glad He sought me through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God cares. Can I tell you, my dear friend, people in heaven care. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, what do they know in heaven? I don't have all that. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot of things about heaven, a few things, some of the things you might see when you get there, a lot of things they don't say. But the Lord gave a wonderful story one time in parables, and He talked about a lost sheep, and He talked about a lost coin, and He talked about a lost son. And He said of that sheep, when they find that sheep, He comes back rejoicing. And He said this, and He said, I tell you that there's rejoicing like that in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And He said this of the coin, He said that when they rejoiced, He said, in heaven is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. In the presence of the angels, it said, not the angels, because they don't comprehend salvation. Who's doing all that rejoicing up there when you got saved? Who was shouting on the other side when Cabot got saved? Who was shouting on the other side when you got saved? Who was shouting on the other side? I never did know any of my grandparents. All my grandparents were dead before I was ever born. But I had a granddaddy that was a preacher. And I got an idea that before I was ever born, before I was ever conceived, that he'd prayed for my mama, his daughter, that when she had children, they'd come to know Christ. I got an idea. He'd prayed that somebody'd be a preacher. And that day in my yard, when the Holy Ghost of God came and convicted me of my sin, and he saved me. And then when he called me, I guarantee you, my granddad, I ain't never seen. He's a shouting out on the other side. Can I tell you that people get excited in heaven when somebody gets saved? They care. They do care. They do care. They love sinners because they've been saved. Oh, listen, when our little girl Christy died that day, they made us go out of the room over at Duke for a little while. They had to work with her. And Christy loved fish. And we had her little fish tank, and she loved fish. And boy, she just fascinated with them little fish. And when we went out that night, that afternoon, walked out in the garden at Duke Medical Center, there's a little bridge and there's a pool there, and it was full of fish. And I stood there and looked at that. And you know what I told my wife? I said, I bet Christy'd like to be here right now. Oh, she'd love to be here right now. You can say he's crazy. He's crazy. I don't care. Now, here I am, 72 years old, just like it happened. That night, she went home to be with the Lord. And me and my wife cried that we couldn't cry no more. And we were right by ourselves that night, just me and my wife, the Holy Ghost. None of our family was there. And we were driving from Duke back to Roanoke Rapids. And Regina's sitting over there, and all she could do was just snub. She done cried so much she couldn't cry anymore. I was riding along there, and I was just praying in the same way. You couldn't hardly see for driving to drive. Listen, I was thinking about Christy. And I didn't eat no pizza. I'm not big on visions, but I'm going to just tell you, this is real to me, and it's kept me going for a long, long time. God, in my heart, let me see my little girl again. She'd lost her hair. They shaved her hair off. She had bruises all over where they had needles stuck all in her head and everything else. But when I saw her in heaven, she had beautiful hair like Brie. She was perfectly whole. And you say, you're making it. I'm just telling you what I saw. Listen, I never saw anything else, but I saw her hand like this and a hand holding her hand. And she looked down and all the beauty of heaven, that river flowing out of that throne. And she looked up. And here's exactly what she said, what God spoke to her heart. She looked around and she looked up and she said, I bet my daddy would like to be here right now. Can I tell you, my dear friend, everybody in heaven wants you to be there. Dallas Porter, who gave his life to serve the Lord and serve his family, and he started a ministry several years ago here called the Lord's Army. He funded it all himself. They made the uniforms themselves. He did everything himself, got all the refreshments, everything, worked with those kids. And listen, I'm telling you right now, there's not one person in this building that Dallas Porter knew that's not saying that he wouldn't say to you, I want you in heaven. And listen, everybody in heaven wants you there. And they want you to miss it. Oh, don't miss it. But can I say this to you? God the Father cares, and God the Son cares, and God the Holy Ghost cares. And people in heaven care about people. And people in hell care. In Luke 15, he tells that story of a rich man that died. And Lazarus that died. Lazarus was comforted in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died and in hell. He lifted up his eyes in torment. There's consciousness in hell. Hell's a real place. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And when he was suffering and dying eternally, but he's never able to die. Did you know people in hell don't ever die? They can't ever find any relief. There comes a time in many people's lives who suffered so long, saved people who love their family and things, but they ever make a statement like this, it's time. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to die. But in hell, people want to die and they can't die. They're suffering, tormented day and night forever and ever, tormented in that flame. And Lazarus said, will you please send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, one drop of water. And Abraham said, nobody can come from here to there. Can't get there. And he said this, I have five brothers at home. I have five brothers. Would you please send somebody to my father's house and tell my brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Can I tell you that people in hell are not partying? People in hell are regretting every time they rejected Christ. They reject every time they mock the things of God. But they are awful, awful fear that their child, their grandchild, their family member is going to join them in a place of torment. And like that man pleading, begging, if you could put a microphone in hell, I believe the folk in hell would say to you today, please go tell my family. Please go tell your neighbors. Please don't let them come to this place of torment. People in hell care. They really care. You say, Brother Billy, listen, what do you mean? What? I want us to care, but I want us to do more than care. Another Psalm 126 said, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed and weeping shall doubtless come again. Broken heart, concerned about people, going and share the seed, the word of God. He said, there's coming a day you'll come back rejoicing. You come back again, you'll be rejoicing. I've been so much blessed with a highway shepherd to see the great outpouring of support and prayer and help. And I've said it before, I wish you could hear the phone calls. I wish you could know trucker friends like this brother who called me in the middle of the night, grown men weeping. And they don't say the thing just right sometime. They say, I listened to your CD. He said, it got to me. I listened to your CD. He said, it made me think. I've had them call me crying, parked on the side of the road, and said, I'm just listening. And I gave my heart to the Lord. Amen. I had a lady call me one time, and she said, this, Brother Bill, I said, it is. She said, my husband called me, and he's way off somewhere else. We live in Mississippi. We've been having a lot of problems. But he called me tonight and said that he got saved. And he said he's sorry for everything he ever did. He wants to come home, wants to put our marriage back together, put our home back together. And I thanked her for calling me. I've often wondered how many people, when you get to heaven, I get to heaven, will be there. And someone we don't even know about, we gave out a track. We left a CD somewhere. Somebody got saved. Somebody got right with God. But he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I wonder, would you like to ask God the Holy Ghost to give you a new zeal to do that? Give you a new boldness to do that? I had our good friend, Brother Jimmy Fowler, to come over here. Brother Jimmy's, I don't know, he's 78 or something. But he's a full-time witness for Jesus. That's what he does. He witnesses, he give out CDs or tracts, everything, witness for him, talk to him about the Lord. And he's got a way of doing it. He's as comfortable to him to do that. And I said, Jimmy, how in the world? He said, I asked God to help me do that. He said, there's a time I'm ashamed to talk to anybody about anything. And he said, when I was active in my church down there, and he said, I was getting ready to retire, and I asked God, I want to serve you. Will you help me to have boldness to talk to people about the Lord? And God did. God did. I want you, do you care? Do you care about the people that you know? Do you care about your children, your grandchildren? Do you care enough to go to them and talk to them about Christ? Go get them and bring them. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you could bring them, be in Sunday school class, be in the Awana program, Vacation Bible School, and get in here, I believe they get saved. If they hear the word of God, God will speak to them. Same way with adults. I'm asking you to do this during this month. Let's ask God to give us a heart ready, a heart that's ready to reach souls far and near. Don't overlook them. They're right around you everywhere. And let's ask God to help us. Will you bow your heads in prayer? While we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I'm going to ask you first of all this. I hear this occasionally. Somebody died suddenly. I don't know how I'll die. I don't know how you'll die. But it's very possible that you and I and our friends now in the media audience could die suddenly. You're not expecting it, you're not planning on it, but you may. If you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? If you raise your hand and testify to that this morning, I'm not even looking. I just ask you, if you know that you're saved and if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Thank you. You may put your hands down. I did not look. I don't know who raised their hand and who didn't. That's between you and God. He knows if you're telling the truth or not. He knows if it's real and genuine to you. But I'm saying to you right now, that if you did not raise your hand, today is the day of salvation. Right now, you say, Brother Billy, nobody cares. Oh, I'd hate to think that anybody in the sound of my voice, anybody in this building, anybody within a driving distance of this church would think nobody cares. They ought to at least know we care. We have a care ministry. Brother Calvin, all those friends who are doing all of that ministry, getting cards out and making phone calls and going to make visits. That's to tell them about Christ, but it also lets them know there is somebody that really cares. And that witness might not be effective today, but repeatedly and somewhere down the road, they may get to the place, I need somebody cares. Hey, I believe folk at Benson Grove care. And they'll come looking for you, come looking for us. I'm asking you to help with the care ministry. Get lined up with Calvin to go out visiting one Wednesday night a month. Write cards, do the baskets, do the other things. But then on your own, would you visit around in your community? It's a proven fact that everybody in this building has about 250 friends or people that know you well enough that if you were to die, they'd probably come to your funeral or your visitation. That's a statistic that's borne out over all the year. So you take everybody in this building this morning, 250, 300 people, I don't know how many is here, multiply that by 250. That is the potential of our reaching folk for Christ. They're everywhere. I mean, they're coming in here by the thousands, really. But we need to start getting people the gospel. Bring them to the house of God. Invite them to come to the house of God. Do you care? If your heart's not tuned enough right now to care, would you at least ask God to touch your heart through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God that you would care? Let's stand together. Brother Cabot, are you going to sing? Cabot's going to sing a song. You stand together this morning. While we're here, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, God, thank you for your presence, Holy Ghost. God, deal with men and women, boys and girls. God, I pray they respond this morning to the Word of God. And God, those of us who are saved, get on our face here in this altar and say, God, give me a heart that cares. God, tune my heart to sing thy grace. God, give me a burden for lost people. God, help me to be faithful to witness. If you're not saved, you come. I don't know what you need to do. Just obey the Holy Ghost right now. You're not the first. Many are coming already. Come on right now. Do you care?